Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you so much for joining us once again here on Defined by Moments. And today is something brand new and special for us. If you've been following along with the podcast, we have gone through a long series called Proverbs for Leaders, where we have taken the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs and covered them in roughly 50 episodes. We've also done some one-off special series here and there, and we also did a shepherd leadership series looking at Psalm 23. As we've been trying to figure out what is going to be our next long-term series, I wanted to do something short. I wanted to do a bridge in between, and that is leading us to where we are now, called Shipwrecks of the Bible. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 107. This is going to be our introduction to this series. And you know, my family had the opportunity this spring to spend some time down in the Outer Banks. And being a history guy with degrees in history, having taught history, of course I go grab books on pirates and shipwrecks and just spend time reading and enjoying what I have learned to do during that time. But spending some time on a ferry headed over to the Ocracoke Island and being away and out in the Sound and thinking back to how these sailors, before modern technology, would be able to navigate these sounds in the ever-shifting sandbars and the shoals, it got me to thinking about shipwrecks and how every single captain that sailed those vessels faced storms. Many of them faced shipwrecks. They each had decisions every single day that would matter and that would lead to a safe return to port or potentially hazard on the seas. And that is what has drawn me to this series, Shipwrecks in the Bible. Now, you're going to see that there are many things that we're going to talk about. You're already in your mind knowing, oh, he is going to go talk about this and this and this. And there will be some others that, quite frankly, you may not have pondered. So Psalm 107 is where we will start. And what I really appreciate about this psalm that David is writing is he really puts out there that we as the redeemed of the Lord need to say that we are the redeemed. We need to point to who he is as our creator, as our redeemer, as our Lord, as our savior. And then he goes through and talks about different people, different duties across the world. And the one that really captured my attention is in verse 23. David writes, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters." Now, quite frankly, we know who this is. These are your mariners. More than any other people, those that spend their life at sea face vulnerability that is really needed by all of humanity. What that vulnerability points to is that we really are not as good and as big and as important as we are. These mariners, even today, when they sail across those oceans, yes, there's a radio. Yes, they have modern-day equipment. But at times, they are at the mercy of those seas. They are at the mercy of the storms. I mean, there are modern-day shipwrecks that occur all across the world. One of the more recent unknowns is back in September of 2015, a ship known as El Faro sailed out into a hurricane and disappeared. Every single crew member lost their lives. So we see in this opening verse, it's the subject of the psalm. It's the mariners. Look at verse 24. David continues, "They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep." So we move from the subject to the specific things that these mariners see. I mean, think about the beauty of sunrises and sunsets, being out on the open where all you see across the horizon is water. They would see fish coming alongside, birds as they're getting closer into shore. They would be able to see the power of a storm and the waves. So they, more than any other, would see the deeds of the Lord, the beauty of his creation, but also the power with which he has, that the wind would be able to whip up these waves and create massive issues for these ships. But the mariners not only are the subject of this, it's not only what they see, but verses 25 and 26 really get to the heart of the matter. And we see the storm. It says, "For he," that's God, "commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths." That's important. You know, I have never been deep sea fishing. One of the reasons I've not gone is that worries me about getting seasick. But the imagery that is being pictured here is that you're a ship, you ride to the top of that large wave, and then you collapse into the trough. Because what goes up has to come down. The heavy wind that sailors prior to modern propulsion would hoist those sails to try and capture the wind. Well, if the wind was too heavy, then they would spend all that effort of trying to tie up those sails so that the ship would not be driven. Then you've got the waves. Not just the waves that, you know, the ship goes up and down with, but at times they come crashing into the side and they wash over the deck. And in many a sailor throughout the history of humanity have been washed overboard in the midst of storms. So the subject here, they see very clearly the power of the Lord, but then they get into the storm and notice what happens. Notice their struggle. The latter part of verse 26 says, "Their courage melted away in their plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end." We see many examples in Scripture of those that are facing shipwreck, that they're fighting the wind, they're trying to ride out these waves, and they're afraid. I mean, think of the disciples who experienced, you know, fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee raged against these storms, exhausted. This reeling and staggering like drunken men, they really are not in control. They are bound by the waves. They are bound by the wind. So they have faced the storm, and they are struggling. But notice the response that David points out in verse 29. He says, "Then," notice that piece, "then, at this moment, when they have no more courage, when they have lost control, when they are at their wits' end," they've hit rock bottom. It's at that moment that they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So we see the subject, what they are seeing, the storms, the struggles, but now we get to the signal. You know, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, before we got to modern propulsion again, there were some uses of the steamers, but if a ship was in trouble, there was a flare that would be fired off. They would hoist a certain colored light that would send the signal, "Hey, we are in distress, we need help." And notice what David says, these mariners, much like us today, when we have reached our wits' end, our cry goes to the Lord. Unfortunately, far too often, we wait to cry out to him only when we're in the storms. But we need to reach out to him well before we hit those storms. Now notice verses 29 and 30. We see a very specific response from the Lord. It says, "He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them into their desired haven." The storms were gone. The seas became smooth, and they reached their port. The skill of that sailor is not during the calm days. The skill is shown in the middle of the storm. Where they turned in the storm revealed who they really were. And the same is true of our own lives. When everything is going well, when we have everything that we want, everything that we need, we tend to turn away from God. But it's when we start to struggle, when we lose the things that we think that we need, that our hearts go to him. You know, tonight I was talking to my children at supper. Was reading through a devotional done by a really mentor of mine, Bob Latour, who wrote this book called Timothy Talks. And the title of the one tonight was called Sovereign or Santa Claus. And we were talking about how if we truly have an understanding of who God is, we respect him, we adore him, we worship him for who he is, not for what he gives us. In fact, the only time that we think about Santa Claus is when? During Christmas. That's not how we should treat and respect the God who loves us, who created us, and who sent His Son to die on a cross in order to restore a broken relationship with us. The other thing that we talked about with those kids tonight is, you know, if you get into Philippians, we see, you know, where Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." Now, here's the key. It's supply all your need, not all your wants. And one of my children asked the question, well, Dad, if there are people that are hungry, don't they need that? Does that mean God does not love them? No, that is not what that means. We had that conversation that God loves everyone. But unfortunately, sin has been introduced into the world, and that's where we see these bad things that often occur, where they come from. It's sin that has been persistent throughout thousands of years, and things are getting worse and worse and worse. That does not counteract the love of God. But God has a purpose, and God has a plan for everything. The storms that come into our lives are there to shape us. The shipwrecks that we may encounter are there to shape us. The stupid decisions that we make, and yet God is so powerful that He can take them and shape them for His honor and glory, they're there to make us better. But we don't end here. We've moved through the subject, what they saw, the storms, the struggle, the signal, they cried for help, that they've reached safety. But now, we get to the script, if you will, the after action report. Notice verses 31 and 32. "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders." So this aspect of thanking the Lord for His steadfast love, this references His kindness to the lowly. It references His compassion for the needy. It references His care for the miserable. Those that had no hope, He's there. And again, what a wonderful image as we think about sailors that are being tossed by waves, that are being driven by the wind. There's only so much that they can do. Yet we see that the Lord can intervene. So it's not just thanking Him for the steadfast love, but it's also for those wondrous works. In the Hebrew here is just a beautiful picture. These wondrous works are those that are beyond one ability. It's what is beyond your power to be able to do. It's the things that are so hard to comprehend or understand. You know, back in 2018, I was in a traffic accident on the interstate where I was absolutely demolished. My truck was destroyed by a big rig. I should not have walked away from that accident, but I did. I can't explain it. It was a wondrous work of God. The truck driver, the state trooper, they're like, we can't explain this. And here I am, it's like laying in the hospital bed. I looked at both of them and said, I can. Because God had a purpose and a plan. I don't understand it. He does. But that's what happens in our lives, that if we see Him as sovereign, we don't just turn to Him as a Santa Claus, but we understand that He is always in control. And then this last verse, verse 32, you know, He says, "Let them extol Him and praise Him." And I absolutely love how this comes together. Thanking and extolling, it's an acknowledgement and an exaltation. This aspect of exalting the Lord in the Hebrew in certain instances is used to translate the word wave, things that are on the rise. And to me, what a wonderful symbolic picture that David was painting here, that we're going to praise Him, that we're going to extol Him, that we're going to exalt Him, means that we're going to rise and let Him go up because He deserves it just like a wave. What a wonderful conclusion to this short section on mariners. Now, what can we learn from this? You know, as I was reflecting upon this and before doing this podcast, I had picked up a book called Ghost Ship of Diamond Shoals. There was this vessel in the 1920s that literally came ashore off the coast of North Carolina. Food was on the table. Sails were out, and not a single person was on the ship. It's a mystery. No one knows what occurred. They just don't know. But there was a letter that the last captain of the Carol A. Deering, the last captain of that ship, he wrote a letter to his brother. And I just love how he turns his attention to what matters. So they had successfully reached Rio down in Brazil and were about to begin their journey home. And the captain said this. He said, "Trust in the Lord and pray earnestly for help, and he will hear your prayers and answer them." That is so true. God always hears our prayers, and God always answers them. Now, he may not give us the answer that we want, but he answers for what is best. Now, notice how he goes. His brother's name was Cecil. So he goes, "Cecil, I believe there is no better help that can be had than when we get help from our master. Oh, be faithful and watch and pray with thanksgiving." There it is. You know, let him be exalted. Let him ride to the top of that wave. And notice his commitment. As a sailor, he says, "I would not give up the hope I have in my master for worlds like this." He goes on and says, you know, the Bible says, "Look at the generations of old and see. Did ever any trust in the Lord and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and were forsaken?" That sums it all up. David, in writing this psalm and turning his attention to the mariners, points out to us the vulnerability that we need in our own lives. And that vulnerability is being humble. When we think too highly of who we are as a person, then that means that we think less of our God and our Redeemer. And sometimes that pride gets in our hearts and we make decisions that cause us to be shipwrecked. And God needs to come alongside and rescue us once again. My friends, I would encourage you to look around through life, whether you were on land, whether you were in the air, whether you were on the sea. But look around through life and see the beauty, the wondrous works of God. And when you do, take that moment to offer thanksgiving, offer praise, offer gratitude to Him. Because if we're not doing that intentionally, then chances are we're not going to do it, period. I'll leave you with this statement. If you are not being intentional, then you are wasting potential. Let me say that again. If you are not being intentional, then you are wasting potential. If we are not intentionally praising God, if we are not intentionally thanking Him for what He has provided to us, then we are wasting the potential of sharing our faith with others. Then we are wasting the potential of truly being reflective and seeing the things that He has done for us that we might have overlooked. My friends, I close with verse 31 one more time. "Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men." Thank you for joining Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back with us in the not-too-distant future, and you